Welcome back into the program. So great to have you along for the ride as usual. Really happy to have this guest back on the show. It's been a little bit since we've chatted with him. And I got to say, it's wild that we're still having to battle some of the fights that we do on a daily basis, even after, and I know we have a short-term memory in politics some of the time, but we're still battling some of the post-COVID-19 fights. And if you remember all the shenanigans that went on through there, now we get to try and continue to fight for this because are they going to try it all over again? But when it comes to vaccines and mandates and telling you what to do in order to, I don't know, function in society, it's kind of an odd conversation to have. But we're here and that's what we have to do, and excited to have on the program with us. He is the vice president and co-founder of the We the Patriots USA organization, which you can find on wethepatriotsusa.org. Excited to have back on the program Mr. Brian Festa. Brian, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
Yeah. So good to talk with you. Last time we chatted, we talked about some Second Amendment issues, which obviously those never go away. They always find unique and interesting ways to go after the Second Amendment, but COVID-19 really drove some issues home for people. And while they tried to scare us into abiding by it, there was a small fringe it started off with, and then it grew to a very large portion of the population that started to question some of the mandates and rules that were being put in place, including saying that in order for you to like walk back out your front door and actually go back to work and function in society, you were forced to get vaccines or to go to school, that you had to get these vaccines, which I found kind of odd, and so many others as well. You've been on the forefront with this, challenging it in the court system about having religious exemptions for vaccinations, especially for school children. Talk about what you've been working on here.
So yeah, in 2021, so April of 21, the state of Connecticut officially repealed their religious exemption to mandatory vaccinations for school children. That's an exemption that had been in place since 1959, when the mandatory vaccination law was first enacted in the state of Connecticut, as they have in every state. There's mandatory vaccinations for school attendance in all 50 states. And Connecticut had a religious exemption, though, since 1959. But in April of 21, riding the wave of COVID hysteria, the legislators who had been trying to repeal this for years before were successful in finally getting it repealed. Governor Lamont signed the repeal bill into law April 28, 2021. That day, within about 3 hours of him signing that, we stood on the steps of the Connecticut Supreme Court and vowed that we would file a federal lawsuit against the governor and the state, and that we were going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, if necessary, to restore religious freedom for these families. We have kept that promise. We filed a cert petition to the United States Supreme Court on December 11th of last year. And on February 5th, something really extraordinary happened. The state of Connecticut, in a typical move, very common legal strategy when a cert petition is filed, had waived its right to respond to our petition. That's something they do sort of as legal strategy to signal to the court, hey, this is frivolous, don't waste your time with it, we're not even going to bother responding to it. And that's a strategy to try to get the court to ignore it. But what happened on February 5th, the United States Supreme Court ordered the state of Connecticut to respond to our petition, which means that at least one justice up there is looking at this very carefully and is interested in the case and wants the state to respond. That is very significant because it doesn't happen often. As I said, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And out of the 8,000 or so petitions, between 7,000 and 8,000 petitions are filed every year to the court, they take probably 80 of them. So about 1% on average.
Wow.
They grant. So the fact that most petitions that you don't even hear anything about, they don't respond, they don't issue any statement, they don't even vote on most of the petitions that are filed. But the fact that they're looking closely enough at this case to order the state to respond to our petition increases the likelihood of us getting cert granted. It's not a guarantee, of course, but it does increase the likelihood because they're looking at this very carefully. Now, what's the significance of this? Well, the significance is there's a case called Employment Division v. Smith, which was from 1990, which basically said that when it comes to religious accommodations, religious exemptions, the state does not have to honor them as long the state can ban something, can prohibit a practice, or even mandate something, as long as the law that they're enacting is neutral and generally applicable. So that case involved Native Americans who wanted to use peyote. They were fired from the jobs for using peyote as part of their religious ceremony practices, and they were denied unemployment benefits. And the state said, well, that's willful misconduct. You were using drugs. That was identifiable reason to fire you. And the Supreme Court, in a decision that many legal scholars over the years, including some of the current justices on the Supreme Court, have criticized, widely criticized, the Supreme Court in that case said that as long as it's a neutral law, as long as you're not specifically enacting a law that says only Native Americans who want to use this in religious practices are banned from using peyote, then it's okay. You can have a general statewide ban for all citizens on using drugs. Sounds logical enough, except that in this case, state of Connecticut, repealing religious exemptions, what they've essentially done is denied a fundamental right to an education, because in the Connecticut Constitution, education, public education, is a fundamental right. So they've taken this fundamental right and said that only people who do not have religious beliefs objecting to vaccination can attend school. And if you have a secular reason for objecting, that's okay. If you have a medical reason, in other words, if you have medical exemption for vaccination, that's okay.
Right.
You can still attend school. But if you have a religious belief against it, no, you're going to be denied your fundamental right. That sounds an awful lot like discrimination, and it certainly does not sound like a neutral law of general applicability. And so this is why we're taking aim at Employment Division v. Smith. At least three justices have signaled a desire to overturn Smith in the case called Fulton versus City of Philadelphia in 2022, very recent. So we think we've got a really good shot at this, and this would have applications beyond the school children context, even in the employment context, because obviously that Employment Division v. Smith case that I mentioned was an employment case,
sure,
not a school case. So if they overturn that or redefine that, that's going to give great latitude for people to be able to claim religious exemptions in the workplace from any kind of mandate, whether you're talking about vaccines or masks, testing, any kind of protocol they may inflict on us in the future. This is a landmark case. If we get this granted, this will be the probably the biggest case in the last 50 years in the history of health freedom and religious freedom.
Yeah, there's a lot to break down, because there's a lot on the table here. So, but you're right, this is a major lawsuit that could really affect the health freedom movement here in the nation, which is a good thing when we could potentially see, you know, disease X that could be coming out soon and trying to lock things down all over again. Which is interesting. You mentioned that in the state of Connecticut, are they allowed to deny or turn away or decide not to actually get the vaccine based on some type of secular or personal belief, and they didn't want to, and they could still go to school? Because a lot of states didn't even allow that. You had to get it, whether it was a religious or just a personal decision altogether.
They're allowed to refuse for medical reasons. So that's, when I say secular, it's not personal belief. We don't have a personal belief exception anymore in Connecticut, but
okay,
they do. We never did, really. It was always just religious or medical.
Gotcha.
But the fact that they left the medical exemption in place is proof that it's not a neutral law of general applicability. And Judge Joseph Bianco of the Second Circuit said as much in his dissent. He dissented. We lost at the Second Circuit, but it was a 2-1 decision. It was a three-judge panel.
Yeah.
Judge Joseph Bianco ruled in favor of us and said he did not agree with the majority's opinion to dismiss our case, and felt that it was not a neutral law of general applicability because Connecticut left the medical exemptions in place. So clearly there was hostility to religion, people with religious beliefs. And, you know, we recognized that early on. We said that from the beginning. Also, even if we get to the strict scrutiny analysis, the reason they're doing this, Andy, is Employment Division v. Smith provides a shield for getting to strict scrutiny. What's strict scrutiny? Well, there's strict scrutiny analysis when there's a fundamental right in the Constitution, like your right to free speech or your free exercise of religion in this case.
Yeah.
The government usually has to prove that they had a compelling state interest that justified their action, and that they did this by the least restrictive means. So whatever right they're infringing upon, they've done it by the least restrictive means possible. They wouldn't be able to. They know, the reason they're using Employment Division v. Smith as a shield is they know that if we get to that strict scrutiny analysis, they're going to lose slam dunk for us.
Sure.
Because There was no public health emergency with regard to any of the vaccinations that they were mandating and taking away the exemption for. COVID wasn't even listed as a mandatory exemption, still isn't in the state of Connecticut, as a mandatory vaccination, for school. They were doing this because of MMR, because they were worried about measles. There were no measles outbreak. So there was no compelling interest, and they didn't do it by the least restrictive means, because there were more students that were using that were simply non-compliant. They're called the McKinney-Vento students. There's a data, homeless families and other, there's a whole metric that's used. But basically, anyone that doesn't provide proof of vaccination is considered non-compliant. They're not using a religious exemption. They're just not compliant. And there were actually more students that were non-compliant in the state than were using a religious exemption. But did they do anything to address those students? No. Instead, who did they target? Religious people, people of faith.
Yeah. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the military reverse that policy as well? They got a lot of scrutiny with individuals in the military that chose religiously not to actually get the vaccine as well. And it took them a while, but they did reverse that policy on the military side. So that would go in your favor as well, that, yes, it's a scrutiny against specifically religious individuals that don't believe in getting this vaccine or any of the vaccines because of a religious meaning, and them cracking down saying, no, we don't really care about what your beliefs are. You still have to get this.
Yes, the Department of Defense case, you're right. There's a lot of people that unfortunately lost their jobs, were discharged from the military. We actually had a military case, Sergeant Jesus Cano out of New Mexico, who was a 21-year, Army sergeant, combat veteran, and lost his GI benefits, was in danger of losing them. Luckily, we were able to fight for him, and he was able to stay in the military and kept it. But they were going to take away his GI Bill benefits that he used to put his kids through school, two of his kids.
Yeah.
This guy served in 9/11, and they were going to take away his rights and his benefits simply because he didn't want to take a toxic shot that was experimental, that had been not been proven safe or effective, and he wanted to have autonomy of his body and hold fast to his religious beliefs, and they were going to discharge him from the military. So yeah, now that the tide has turned on that, that is helpful. I do personally think, I can't speak for the justices in the Supreme Court, but my personal feeling, watching closely the decisions they've issued recently, I haven't agreed with all of them, and we haven't gotten victories everywhere.
Sure.
But when it comes to religious liberty in particular, they've been very favorable to plaintiffs claiming religious liberty, and very, very critical of states, any government, whether it's the federal government or the state government, that infringes on one's religious freedom. So I think that bodes very well for us. And like I said, the implications of this case cannot be overstated. This is going to reach far beyond a schoolhouse in Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, amen to that. We're talking with Brian Fest. He's the vice president and co-founder of We the Patriots at USA, which you can find online at wethepatriotsusa.org. That's what I wanted to ask you next was, let's say, and hopefully you guys get the proper ruling in this, the state responds, you go to court, and you get the favorable reading and decision from the court. Talk about the implications of this, not just of the school there in Connecticut, but talk about the wide implications that this would have nationwide on future pandemics or future laws regarding vaccines and freedom of choice and freedom of religious expression with individuals both in a school and at work and in general public. I mean, this could really change the dynamic of how we view what we have to do to function in society.
Absolutely. So starting with schools, it's beyond Connecticut. California lost their religious exemption, their personal belief exemption. They actually had a personal belief exemption in 2015. New York lost theirs in 2019. Maine lost theirs in 2021. We lost ours in 2021. So all of, and West Virginia has never had one, and the governor there just vetoed a bill the other day trying to establish a religious exemption. The legislature wanted to pass that, and he vetoed it. So West Virginia also doesn't have one. All those states would be able to win back their religious exemptions if we win this case for school children. That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. I mean, California obviously is the largest population. There's millions of people there that would like to use a religious exemption that haven't been able to since 2015. This case could restore that for them. Beyond that, in the workplace, yes. Yes, we have something called Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits religious discrimination in the workplace. But as you saw, many employers just ran roughshod over that, ignored it, and still fired people during the pandemic,
yeah.
Simply because they refused a vaccination, even if they weren't even working in healthcare or any kind of high-risk situation. You know, I'm not saying it was justified in hospital settings, but at least they could make an argument with sort of a straight face in front of a judge that this is high risk because we have a lot of sick people. But you're working in some office here pushing papers in your cubicle. You're really going to tell me you got to force a needle into somebody's arm? I mean, there was just no justification. And some people working outdoors by themselves even, or truck drivers. I mean, come on. There were no risk to the public. And so they ignored Title VII. But if we get this ruling, this would be the Supreme Court of the United States saying, no, it also violates the Constitution for you to deny someone's religious freedom. And then any public employer, any government employer, any state employer, any local municipal employer would be bound by the Supreme Court case that you must honor one's religious beliefs when it comes, whenever you're thinking of enacting any kind of mandate. Again, we're not even just talking about vaccinations, Andy.
Yeah.
We're talking about masks. We're talking about testing. We're talking about any other kind of drug or shot that they might try to impose on people in the future. And make no mistake, this is an election year. When did this nonsense all happen last time? 2020, an election year.
Exactly.
Who was running against Joe Biden in 2020? I mean, Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump's running again against who? Joe Biden.
Yeah.
This is all being set up again. This is all being set up again. You see all this stuff happening across the nation and the world to create a crisis, to create lockdowns. They don't want in-person voting. They're going to do anything they can to avoid in-person voting this November. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because this is all coming back. And we need to have a case like this, we need to have a decision like this already on the books. People say, you know, some people have COVID fatigue. They're like, you know, we're over it, Brian. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Move on to other kinds of issues. Yes, we do have other lawsuits. We get Second Amendment stuff, as you mentioned.
Right.
We're fighting transgender, the transgender cult, I call it, in the public schools. We have a great case out of Oakland, California, on behalf of a teacher there. We're fighting on many different fronts. But these COVID issues, these religious exemptions, medical freedom, health freedom, we cannot forget about this. Because if I drop this case right now and they start all this nonsense again tomorrow, look, it took us 3 years to get to the Supreme Court from the time we filed this. That clock would start all the way over again.
Yeah.
We can't have that happen. We need these decisions to come down so it never happens again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we gotta make the stand now, because if this ever happens again, which I believe it will happen again, then we need to be prepared and actually have some lawsuits on the books and in our favor to actually defend ourselves moving forward. We got a couple minutes left here, Brian, but I do want to ask you, is stepping away from the vaccine specifically, but you mentioned some of the religious traditions and going back to, you know, the peyote and the Native Americans. We're seeing now a growing interest across the nation with churches that are popping up in the country. I know Florida has one. I believe that New Mexico is building one. Colorado's starting one as well, where they do something similar, not with the peyote, but with magic mushrooms or with DMT or ayahuasca, essentially, which is DMT being the concentrated form of that, with these religious practices of using these psychedelics. Do you think that these are in jeopardy, or that there's going to be challenges on these religious practices as well? And will this lawsuit tie into that at all?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's going to tie in specifically to that. I do think it will give greater autonomy to religious institutions, to churches in particular, and people of faith who are being discriminated against. I mean, we have another vaccine case in Connecticut when the state, after this exemption was repealed, the state went after a church, a daycare and preschool, Milford Christian Church. They have a preschool and daycare there, and tried to shut them down because they said, well, you know, we don't really care. In so many words, the fact that you repealed religious exemption, we have people of faith here who have an objection. We're a church, after all. We respect people's faith, so we're going to honor that. They were going to shut them down. We were able to keep the daycare open. That's still making its way through the federal courts as well, but yeah, I mean, I don't know about drugs. I can't really speak to that, whether specific, you know, practices using hallucinogenics or anything, whether that's going to have, you know, greater protection. I mean, certainly if there's a religious practice and you're not harming other people, then certainly you can make the argument. But then there's a slippery slope because they come back and try to say that, oh, if you're not vaccinating, you're harming people, which the CDC data, as we've seen, has proven. Their own data shows that's not the case. These vaccines don't actually prevent,
right,
these shots, I should say, don't prevent the transmission of COVID-19, and they also don't make you less sick, which was the claim originally. They've actually increased sickness, increased illness, increased sudden death in young people. We have a movie called Shot Dead that's now been featured in 3 film festivals. It's won an award in 1 film festival. It was at the Santa Monica Film Festival in California in February. I went there for the screening. ShotDead.org, which features the stories of 3 children who lost their lives to the COVID shot. Tragic, but everybody needs to watch that and share that. And the last thing I want to say, Andy, because I know you got to go, is that we are a public interest law firm. So all of the legal services we offer to the public are 100% pro bono. So if anyone needs help, they can come to us, call us. We will do our best to take your case. But the only way that we're able to do that is with the support of our donors, because we are a nonprofit organization. So you can make a tax-deductible donation to us at wethepatriotsusa.org. Again, that's wethepatriotsusa.org. We invite you to subscribe to our email list there as well on that homepage. But any donation of any amount is greatly appreciated, because these lawsuits can run us $50,000 to $100,000 a pop,
yeah.
And we've got them all over the country. So it's only because of our donors that we're able to do any of this.
You guys are hard at work, and we appreciate everything that you're doing for sure, because these are important cases, and this is going to what's going to protect us and keep that that defense, that buffer zone, so to speak, moving forward when they try all this garbage all over again. So we absolutely appreciate and love what you guys are doing. It's Brian Festa, Vice President, Co-Founder of We the Patriots USA, wethepatriotsusa.org. Brian, keep up the fight, brother. Let's get you back on again soon and get another update from you.
Thanks, Andy. God bless.